I greet you this morning in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this beautiful Lord's Day, the fifth Sunday in August, August the 30th, 2020. As we come this morning, may we rejoice and be glad in the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, the psalmist said. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So as we come this morning, we are thankful to be here and thankful for your presence. And we do pray that the Lord will continue to bless the service as He has in the song service. This morning, may we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 10. The book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Last Sunday, we saw the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the great apostle Paul. Remember, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever, gave him the power of the Holy Spirit in his heart, converted him from the persecutor of the church to the greatest proponent the church has ever known. Now, another one of those famous apostles in the New Testament is the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter. And he's also very prominent in the book of Acts, as he was in the Gospels. We know that Jesus' inner circle was Peter, James, and John. And we find Peter is the one who preached the powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Peter and John were the ones blessed of the Lord in the healing of the lame man in chapter 3. And they also were very bold when they stood before the Jewish council in chapters 4 and 5, saying, "We ought to obey God rather than man." And after that Jewish council had commanded them not to speak nor teach any more in the name of Jesus Christ, what did they immediately go out and do? They continued to speak and preach in the name of Christ our Lord. And for that, they suffered great persecution, as we do as well today. Now we return to Peter once again in Acts chapter 10. Now, historically, Peter was known as the apostle to the Jews, and Paul is known as the apostle to the Gentiles. However, in chapter 10, the Lord gives Peter a mission to go to a certain Gentile's household by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier, a centurion of the Italian band. And we find that he was devout. There were lots of Gentiles mentioned in the New Testament as being devout people. That is, the Lord had worked in their heart and they had renounced heathenism. And yet they were not Jews, they were still Gentiles, but they were in need of the light of the gospel message. And so we find in Acts chapter 10 that the Lord gives Peter a vision. But let us go to the end of the story for our scripture reading and then go back to the beginning. Verses 44 through 48. 44 through 48. The end of chapter 10. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized, in the name of the Lord, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, now I pray Thy Holy Spirit may rest upon our hearts and minds, that we might be blessed with the revelation of the truth of Thy Word, that we might magnify God as these did in this day. Heavenly Father, we pray for our country, our nation, our nation's leaders, our military, the unborn. We pray for revival in our land, and Father, may it begin in me. Forgive us now of our many sins, for in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. And so we find that after the Apostle Paul was converted in chapter 9, it said in the end of chapter 9 that he returned to Tarsus. And the last verse is where we left off last Sunday in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And so we see there, the church is growing, the church is flourishing, in spite of great opposition and persecution. It says the churches had rest throughout the land. Now, I would say that this rest the church had was not necessarily a rest in the sense of a cessation from persecution, but rather a spiritual rest in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, just like the writer of Hebrews taught in Hebrews chapter 4. There remains yet today a rest for God's children, that we who have labored may enter into His rest. And so we find the story returns to the Apostle Peter, and it goes in chapter 9, beginning of verse 32, where Peter comes back on the scene, and in the coastal town of Lydda, he heals a man by the name of Aeneas, who had been taken with the palsy for 8 years. And so he heals this man who was bedridden for 8 years with palsy. And then in a nearby town of Joppa, and these are on the Mediterranean coast, on the western coast of Israel, on the Mediterranean Sea, they hear about Peter healing Aeneas. And they send men to Peter from Joppa to Lydda, because one of their dear sisters, Tabitha, who went by the name of Dorcas, had died, and they wanted Peter to come and be with them. She was a woman full of good works and did alms deeds. She was a blessed lady in the church at Joppa. And so this is where we find Peter now in our text today, in chapter 10. Peter is in the coastal town of Joppa, and we find that there is this Roman centurion, a Gentile named Cornelius, who was living in Caesarea. Now, Caesarea was one of the chief military seaports of the Roman Empire in the Mediterranean Sea. And he was a man under authority, but yet he was devout and he was humble. And so we find in chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea, it's on the coast, whose name was Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, he was over 100 men, but he was a part of an Italian fighting force of 600 men, and he was devout. He was devout. One who feared God with all of his household, which gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. No doubt, he was a child of God. He had to have been born again already. Because people do not fear God and pray unto Him this way unless the Lord has already worked the work of grace in their hearts and lives. So God was already in the heart of Cornelius. But yet, he still needed to learn more about the light of what Jesus had done for him. He was worshiping the Lord with the light that he had, but he was in need of and yearning for more light that he might rejoice and understand more about the Lord. And so we find that he saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day, which was one of the hours of prayer, he saw an angel of God coming to him saying, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid to start with. He said, "What is it, Lord?" He recognized it was the Lord. And he said, "Thy prayers and alms, they have come up for a memorial before God. Cornelius, your prayer has been answered," he says. He tells him to send men to Joppa and to call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with another man by the name of Simon, who is a tanner. He will tell you what thou oughtest to do. Look in verse 6. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now remember, when the Lord revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus, and also to Ananias, who preached to him in chapter 9, there it said, he will show you what you must do. What you must do. The word must and the word ought are from the same root word in the Greek language. So when you see the word ought, it doesn't mean that it's really optional. You should do it, or maybe do it, or maybe not do it. But you are compelled to do these things. So it is really what you must do. And so Cornelius and his family and friends were desiring to know and learn more about what the Lord would have them to do in His service. And so we see the story now. God always works on both ends of the line. He works on the minister, and He works on those to whom we minister. He prepares the minister to preach, and He prepares those who hear the preaching to receive it in a spirit of truth and rejoicing. He works on both ends of the line. And so we find now Cornelius sending men from Caesarea to Joppa for Peter to come. Now, in the meantime, in Joppa, Peter sees a vision of a great sheet descending from heaven. Look in verse 9. Acts 10:9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, the men that Cornelius sent, and were drawing nigh now to the city of Joppa, Peter went up upon the housetop of Simon's house to pray, and about the sixth hour, noon. And as he prayed, he also became very hungry, and he would have eaten, except he fell into a trance. I believe the Lord did this to Peter. He fell into a trance, and he saw a vision. Verse 11, and he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been likened to a sheet, knit at four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Then the voice spake to him again the second time, saying, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. Now this was done three times, and then the vessel was received up again into heaven. This vision, we find the Lord showing Peter that he has a people among the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Now, he saw all manner of unclean animals. Animals that the Jews, by the law of Moses, were not allowed to eat. That was similar to a parable there in the vision itself. In the book of Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14, God gave Moses dietary laws for the nation of Israel to follow. These unclean animals were not to be eaten. But yet we find God is telling Peter that it's okay to go to this Gentile's house. That I have a people there. Aren't you thankful that God has a people among the Gentiles? Well, if it were not so, we wouldn't be here today. Who are we? We are Gentiles. Even in the Old Testament, many occasions you find where the Lord dealt with Gentiles that were not a part of the nation of Israel. And you find in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, chapter 42, again, Isaiah 49 as well, where he prophesied that those who sat in darkness among the Gentile nations would see a great light and would be gathered to God. And it was a prophecy of the Gentiles coming to the light of Jesus Christ. And so it was that Peter comes to the household of Cornelius. So look in verse 17. Now while Peter doubted, and aren't we all prone to doubt? he was still a little doubtful and fearful to go to the Gentiles' house because normally Jews would be excommunicated from their families and the synagogues for going into a Gentile's home. But he says he doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, that behold, the men that were sent from Cornelius came, and they inquired for Simon's house, standing before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon Peter lodged there. Isn't that amazing how that the Spirit led them to that particular house in Joppa? When God gives directions, they're specific and detailed, and when we follow His directions, He always leads us where we need to go. Isn't that amazing and true? Yes, it is. When we follow God's directions in the Word of God, He always leads us where we need to go and to minister to the people that He wants us to minister to. And so it is with Peter and Cornelius. So as Peter was thinking on these things, they tell him, three men are here to see you. And so they come in, and Peter goes down to the men, and he says to them, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you're come? Why have you come to see me? And they say to him, Cornelius the centurion, who is a just man, one who fears God and is of good report among the nation of the Jews, he was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee to your house to hear words of thee. Now Peter knows without a doubt that God has called him to preach the gospel to the household of Cornelius. And so Peter goes with the men to Caesarea. And as we find, Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called his kinsmen and his close friends together. Now here we see a great example of what I like to call frangelism. Frangelism. We often speak of evangelism, where we go out and share what God has done for us with other people. Frangelism, F-R-A-N. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Fran, F-R-A-N. Frangelism. Cornelius called his friends, his relatives, his acquaintances, and his neighbors to hear the word that Peter would speak to them. And that's what we're called to do today in the church. When the Lord blesses our hearts and rejoices our hearts in the Word of God, it ought to compel us to invite our friends and relatives, those we know, our acquaintances and neighbors, to come to our home and to the church to hear God speak to us. But as Peter came in, Cornelius met him and fell down to worship Peter. But Peter wouldn't have any of that. He would not have the worship of Cornelius. He said, "I'm a man just like you are. Stand up. Don't worship me. Worship God." You know, the Catholics say that Peter is the first pope of the church, but we don't believe that. And he was not to be worshipped, nor was Mary. So he says, "Stand up. I'm a man just like you are." And so we find that he recounts to him the vision that he had. And in the following verses, and then beginning in verse 34, Peter finally begins to preach to the house of Cornelius. What lesson did Peter learn from that vision of that great sheet and going to the household of Cornelius? In verse 34, we find what he learned. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, yellow, whatever color, doesn't matter what color your skin is, but in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 that we are all one in Jesus Christ. Whether we be Jew, whether we be Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether we be Greeks or Hebrews, it doesn't matter. If you're a child of God, we are all one in Christ. And that's the lesson that Peter learned. And so he preaches the gospel to the household of Cornelius. The word that God sent to the children of Israel, that is the gospel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, for He is Lord of all. Peter preaches the peace of Jesus to the household of Cornelius. He preaches that Jesus made peace for us with God. Because we were at enmity with Him. We were the enemies of the Lord because of our sin. And we needed one who could justify us, who could make peace with us. And Jesus is our peacemaker. Paul says that in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 14 to 17. Jesus is our peace. And that word I say you know, that was published throughout Judea and Galilee. He's referring to the beginning of the gospel from the time of John the Baptist. John the Baptist preached it, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He recounts to Cornelius how God called our Lord and when he was baptized by John the Baptist, and the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, and God said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear you him." He recounts the beginning of the gospel to him, and how that he went about doing good. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And Peter tells him, "We are witnesses of all the things that Jesus did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. But yet, they slew him and hung him on a tree." So he teaches and preaches to Cornelius how Jesus went about ministering and doing good, healing those that were sick, and delivering those that were oppressed by the devil. Yet, in spite of his good works, the Jews insisted that the Romans crucify him on a cruel Roman cross. But yet, he tells him the greater news, how that God raised him up from the dead on the third day and showed Jesus to us openly. He was seen to be alive by many witnesses after his resurrection. He wasn't seen by the masses at large, but he was seen to those to whom God revealed him. He says in verse 41, "Not to all the people, but to witnesses that were chosen before of God, to us, his apostles, and other disciples who did eat with him after he rose from the dead." Remember, in Luke chapter 24, after his resurrection, he came to them and he ate fish and bread with them. For he said, "I have flesh and bone. I'm in a glorified body." And what did Jesus command them to do? He commanded us to preach unto the people. The Great Commission. "Go ye out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He commissioned them to preach, teach, and baptize that which was ordained of God. And Jesus was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He tells Cornelius that the Lord had ordained Jesus Christ to be the judge of all the earth. Capital J. Jesus is the judge of those living and those dead. The judge of all the earth. The Apostle John, in the Gospel of John chapter 5, teaches us that God the Father committed all judgment to the Son. When he says, look in the Gospel of John, he's the judge of the quick and the dead. He says there that he's committed all judgment unto the Son. In verse 27 of John 5, he has given Jesus, God hath given Jesus authority to execute judgment also. Why? Because he is the Son of Man. So he could judge the quick and the dead. To the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter preaches that all the Old Testament prophets gave witness. Every prophet in the Old Testament prophesied of the coming of Jesus Christ. That through His name, that whosoever believes in Him shall receive remission of their sins. Verse 43. The believer receives forgiveness of our sins in the name of Christ our Lord. When we're convicted of our sins and turn to Him in repentance and faith, He's faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was the same message Peter preached on the day of Pentecost when they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" They said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now we find what happens to the household of Cornelius. While Peter yet speak these words, here's my text, verse 44. As Peter preached to the household of Cornelius, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word, just like it did on the day of Pentecost to the Jews and all those at Jerusalem. And the Jews that went with Peter to the house of Cornelius, and I'm sure Peter as well, they were astonished. Astonished. I believe that's a vocabulary word. Astonished. They were amazed that God was giving the Spirit of the Lord to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And they heard the household of Cornelius speaking with other tongues, magnifying God. Then Peter answered to his Jewish brethren and said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we who have received the Holy Spirit?" They couldn't say anything against it. And so that he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then they prayed that they would tarry there certain days. They were converted by the power of the ministry of Peter under the Spirit of God. They were believers in Christ. And so it is, we find the lessons for us today. Don't call any man common or unclean, because God has a people in every place we go. Rich and poor, Jew, Gentile, it matters not. God is no respecter of persons. And we find that He has a people in all kindreds, tribes, and nations. And when we receive the Word and are baptized, may we rejoice with them and praise God for it. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.